Welcome to Calcio FC, your weekly dose of Italian football culture. Coming up, a Spezia deep dive. It's the latest feature in that series. But before we dip into Serie B, I'm delighted to say that joining me, David Farini, is Emmett Gates, Destination Calcio senior writer and international football presenter Adriano Del Monte. But before we get into all things Italian football culture, Adriano, come stai? How is Milan?
All good. Great to be with you guys. Ciao, ciao.
Good to have you back.
Hi to all the listeners. Everything's going well. It's nice to be with you. I've just come back from a little pause in Australia, but now back in Milano, nice and cold. Straight back into it. Very full-on Champions League Serie A and even some Serie B as well.
That's all. Yeah, good to see you there on the weekend in Spezia. Emmett, speak in a non-Irish accent for us, a little bit more Australian twang like us, can you?
No.
Can you give it a go at least?
Non impossibile.
Non impossibile. Well, a bit of Italian at least. So he's gonna mingle between the languages, yeah. Between the accents. Emmett speaks decent Italian, by the way. And okay, let's get into Roma. And we're going to talk about Claudio Ranieri and how his side is going. 10 unbeaten in Serie A, ready to fight for the Europa League trophy, maybe. The finals in Bilbao this season, and Lazio topped the Europa League. And so we're going to travel about 400 miles south to Rome, and we're going to get into this. De Rossi, Juric, and now Ranieri. Emmett, I'll throw this to you. Ranieri's, he's come in. He's taken over. There was a lot of conjecture, a lot of fear around the capital, and now what?
I think he's calmed things down. You know, obviously this is his third stint as Roma manager, and he's just basically went back to basics. He said in his opening press conference that he's going to keep it simple. He's not going to play players out of position. You know, I think with Ivan Juric, he played Angelino as a third centre-back on the left, and Ranieri was like, nah, no more of this. I'm playing players in the proper positions. He knows the environment. He knows the pressure that comes with being Roma manager, the pressure from the Romanisti. So he's just calmed things down. He's playing players in the right position. And he also said if Paulo Dybala is fit, he plays. He's brought in Mats Hummels, who for some reason wasn't getting a look in under Juric. And I think Juric even said, look, it wasn't personal. It was just my personal preference for the system that he wanted to play. And he's just kind of calmed things down. And he's just like, lads, keep it simple. Just get back to basics. And Roma, you know, they've been unbeaten now on the last 10 games, and you can see the Ranieri effect on the players. Dybala said, you know, he's given them confidence, he's instilled confidence in the team, and you wouldn't rule out Roma potentially winning the Europa League come May. You know, Ranieri can do that. He has that effect. We've seen him perform miracles before with Leicester, so why not do another one with Roma in what'll be the last 3 or 4 months of his managerial career?
Adriano, give us your thoughts about their current fighting spirit that they're showing.
It's been good. Results are good. Ranieri's doing what he always does, and it's fantastic to see. And Roma now can really, well, they can dare to dream, because who would have said months ago that this team would be at this stage, particularly I'm looking at the Europa League and the form that they're in. And really, I think many here in Italy are giving them a chance of going very deep in that competition. So it's been a fantastic turnaround. The key for me with Ranieri is he just does what he always does. He brings that calming approach. He brings the experience, and he is excelling and bringing the best out of individuals who perhaps were not anywhere near their best consistently, at the very least, earlier on in the campaign. So I think the recent results speak for themselves. I think the some of the fight backs, some of the just the positive improvements we've seen are largely down to this man. And I am excited, even though he won't coach next season, the fact that he'll still be involved. This is a very valuable asset for a big, big club like Roma to have. So while direct qualification for Champions League, perhaps from the league, not a possibility, at least with the Europa League still there, Champions League football still may be on the horizon in the capital for the red half of Rome next season.
That's a massive call. I mean, I guess the first thing on their agenda is just keeping that momentum going. 10 undefeated in Serie A, Emmett, and looking like they're going to push for at least for a Europa League spot for next year. I guess if they win the Europa League, I mean, what a story that would be. If they can get to Bilbao, they first have to take them out. Emmett, what are your thoughts on them actually being able to qualify for Champions League, what Adriano is saying?
Yeah, I do think that the Champions League is slightly beyond them, but they're only 7 points from Lazio in fifth. So it's not without the realms of possibility that they continue this run and they do qualify for the Europa League. Also, they could get into the Champions League next year by winning the Europa League. And, you know, on the side of the draw, they have Athletic Bilbao, which will be a difficult game. There could be the Jose Mourinho derby with Fenerbahce in the quarterfinal, you know, but they are on the difficult side of the draw. But we could have potentially a Rome derby, Europa League final, which would be off the scale.
Well, who's the man to get them there, Adriano? Is it Paulo Dybala? He's been in magnificent form. We saw what he did against Porto, the fighting spirit, the killer instinct.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Dybala... Is Dybala still one of the top players in the league? I mean, obviously, he's not always able to play 2-3 games a week. But for me, Dybala at his best is as good as any player in the competition. And yes, I think if Ranieri can manage Dybala and his other top players and ensure that they're fit and ready to go for those big moments in those big matches, yes, it will be that individual. We saw against Porto what he was able to do. And obviously with some big tests to come in the Europa League, as Emmett said, there are some really enticing ties potentially if they can get past the round of 16 ahead. It's a player of this quality that can bring them very deep. So if big things are to continue to happen, Ranieri's experience, Dybala's quality, and just the continual improvement of the squad in its entirety will have to be the recipe to success.
Yeah, it feels like there's a new attitude at Roma right now under Ranieri. I was actually shocked to see De Rossi go so early, but
yeah.
It felt like it was a transposition of Napoli season last year into Roma this year, but then Ranieri has rescued it. And Dybala is part of that. There was all that talk that he was going to leave in January, I remember.
Yeah.
And he stayed. He's now leading them. And his partner in crime up forward, Shomorodov, no one really expected that. But he looks fit and he's scoring goals. Behind him is Pizzilli. What are your thoughts on the support acts behind Dybala? Also, Sule.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Sule has obviously improved. They all have. And it's a credit to... Ranieri there, no doubt. Pizzilli is the one that's the most fascinating for me because 2004 born, 20 years of age, over 20 appearances in the season. And these are the sorts of players we need to see more of at this level, performing, improving and growing day by day. It's good for the club, it's good for the league, and it's good for the national team in the future of the Azzurri. So fantastic to see a young player who's obviously come through the youth ranks, getting his chances and making the most of them and getting better because he's been having the opportunities to play top flight football at the highest level. And definitely from an Italian perspective in general, we need to see more of this. But again, the improvements and consistent performances and all of those three and more are all down to Ranieri and the positive impact he's brought to the club.
I think it's a positive thing, you know, as Adriano touched on, that if this had have been 20 years ago, Pizzilli would have been out on loan to Chievo or
Lumezzane
till he was 29. I think we're still too young. Maybe send him out till he's 31, then we'll bring him back. But now that, you know, players like this are getting regular Serie A games at 21, 22, 23, I think that's a positive sign from that the mentality is shifting within Italian football, that look, we need to bleed these youngsters in and give them competitive games at a younger age, not 28, 29, 30, as they used to do 20, 30, 40 years ago.
And he's changed the formation, hasn't he, Emmett? He's gone away from what Juric was doing. How about Angelino? Because he's kind of one of these unsung hero players that no one really takes notice of. And all of a sudden, he's scored a cracker against Monza, he scored the equaliser against Napoli. And they look like they've got a couple of sort of co-captains around the field now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was one of the best things that Ranieri did when he came into the club. He said, look, I'm going to play players in the correct position, because obviously Ivan Juric played Angelino as a left-sided centre-back in a three, which was mad, in my opinion. But Ranieri's come in and he's put Angelino back on the left in a 3-5-2 as a left wing-back. He's got a great motor on him. He can go up and down. He's a cracking left foot. And he supplied Pizzilli's goal against Porto. And I've always been a fan of his, really good player. I don't think he's as good as, say, Federico DiMarco in that respect, but he's a very good player. And yeah, Ranieri is just, as Adriano mentioned, he's brought a calming effect to Roma. He knows the environment. This is his third stint. He's a Roma boy, born in the city. He understands the pressure. And I think he's transmitted that to the players in Angelino's form. Actually, I think this is the best period for him since he's joined the club. And also Dybala, like Ranieri said after the Porto game, he said Dybala is the fuse that lights everything up. for this Roma team. And if they're going to go on to do anything for the remainder of the season, I think Dybala is going to be key to that. And Angelino as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Adriano, imagine if they win silverware under Claudio. We know that Francesco Totti is an institution just like the Vatican is in Rome. Can you imagine King Claudio? Will they make statues outside the Vatican of him if he can take Roma all the way to Bilbao and beat Lazio in a final?
Look, if that were to happen, that would be another... Look, that maybe it doesn't top Ranieri's Leicester Premier League triumph, but that's something right up there. It would be a remarkable story and a turnaround for Roma if they were able to eliminate a couple of the Europa League heavyweights, play Lazio in a final in Bilbao and win. That would be magical.
A script that we could come up with, we could write it right now. Yeah. Take out right. Ex-coach Jose Mourinho that took them to Conference League glory. Fenerbahce, right. Take them out. Take out Manchester United to right the wrongs of that game where they got bounced 7-1. And then Ranieri takes them into the final. Lazio, just decapitation in Bilbao. There it is. King Claudio.
I think Lazio fans would be too happy, but it would be a beautiful story.
Yeah, look, all right. Apologies to Lazio fans out there. But hey, look, Lazio, if they get to the final as well, how great will it be? So we were there to see them play Napoli. We saw what they did as well. They both Roman clubs took points off the league leaders, and that's why we have this fantastic title race at the moment. So we'll just get your thoughts on the title race now. Inter, Napoli, Atalanta's back in the mix, Adriano.
I'm liking Inter. I think Inzaghi rotated the squad in the Coppa Italia, Napoli with a couple of personnel issues. I think the Scudetto race will be between Inter and Atalanta is my prediction now for the remainder
you
of the
think,
season.
You think Napoli's on the way out?
I do.
Wait for David Neres to come back.
Como have been brilliant, but I think the Como defeat was the one that they couldn't afford. And Inter, it will be tough, obviously, with the Champions League, and I think they'll go very deep in Champions League as well. That's why I think if Atalanta can get their act together, now full focus on the league, they could be the danger, but I do have Inter on top as favourites.
This is the Calcio FC podcast with me, David Farini, joined by Destination Calcio senior writer Emmett Gates and pitchside presenter Adriano Del Monte. We're going to find out a little bit more about Adriano himself, the football presenter, the pitchside person. Tell us what it's like to be there on the sidelines.
Look, it's something I never take for granted. I've been very fortunate to cover. I've lost count how many matches, but you know, I've had years where you're nearing three-digit numbers in terms of matches. You're there over a 15-month period with tournaments and lengthy seasons. It's always something that you're very grateful for. Growing up in Australia, we're on the other side of the world from all of this, and it's something that I used to watch at 4 a.m. every morning, skip early morning school for when I was a teenager in high school. And it's a bit surreal at times, the fact that particularly San Siro, I'm there every second week. It's 15 minutes away from my apartment here in Milan. And very, very fortunate, very grateful to be there, very humbled. But it's my job, it's my work, it's what I've always strived to do. So, look, it's just part of the fun. But do enjoy the travel side. Obviously, covering Champions League particularly takes me out of Italy and very regularly across Madrid, Munich, Paris, Barcelona. So always great to just soak in the other nation's culture and hunger and passion for football as well.
Obviously, you'll have to be delicate here with this question, but what are your experiences like with managers and what are they like close up? Obviously, because we see, you know, we can only kind of guess what we see on the TV screen, but obviously you're there in person talking to them. How are they?
Look, every individual is different. I personally don't love, it's probably the least favorite part of my job is the post-match interview. And I'm talking within the minutes after the match, you're in the tunnel or you're on the pitch and you immediately interview them. The reason I don't love that is because it's a very unnatural situation to have to speak to someone. Emotions are running high. Very often the questions are the same. And if you have a player or a coach who has already been interviewed by other networks and you're second or third in line, it's a bit much of the same. And the way that I approach my job is not so much as a journalist, I'm more of a presenter. So I'm not really trying to ask hard-hitting questions to make people uneasy, but it can be tough because obviously you want to be respectful of an individual. So look, very, very transparently, I've not really had an issue with too many managers, if we're talking managers in a post-match setup particularly. And that's because most of them know of me as not that journalist who's trying to probe. I sort of allow them, my strategy is often to allow them to dictate the conversation. So I'll very often open with a nice open-ended question just to get a sense of how they're feeling. My question isn't so much, what did you think about the match? My question is more, how are you feeling? Just so then I can get to understand where to take the next question. So it's my little strategy that I apply all the time. But look, sometimes, particularly with some of the bigger name managers, you get them, you feel the mood isn't quite there and they're not really interested. Or you get a Guardiola who's just had a very tough defeat and he's giving you two-word answers. And you're like, okay, where do I take this very quickly? Think on your feet. So again, you still, my number one thing is always be respectful of the individual. If they open a door which might allow me to ask a question which might be a little topical, I'll do that. But otherwise, my approach is always respect first and then I guess focus on the headline second. So I've never had any issues, but it's always something that I don't feel uneasy, but it is unnatural and it's not my most enjoyable aspect of my job in that post-match environment.
And who was your favourite personality or football manager to be around? Just the general calmness of them? And
favourite and general calmness? I've got two different ones. My favourite has always been with Mourinho, particularly when he was here in Italy, because sometimes you didn't know what you were going to get with him, but it was always an entertaining, emotional, passionate chat, which I love. But the second you mentioned calm there, Ancelotti is number one by so far that it just surprises me each and every time how calm he is in the biggest moments. And I actually interviewed him after the Manchester City win last week at the Bernabeu, the second leg. And one of the last questions I said to him was, I said, Carlo, you are always so calm. Like, people tell him this all the time, but you are always so calm. Does that transmit to your players? I get having the experience to be able to perform at the highest level when you've been there time and time again, but your level of calmness as the leader is such a valuable asset. And just typical Italian fashion, put his hand through his hair and just brush it off as if it's completely normal. So look, it's people like that though that I admire so much, particularly Ancelotti, because to do what he does and maintain that level of calm at the when the stakes are the highest they can possibly be, I take a lot of motivation and inspiration from that. That's how I try and apply, I guess, myself to my work that I do. I just try to maintain a level of just normality that I bring to day-to-day life, and I try to do that when I work. So, yeah, I'm really, really motivated and inspired by someone who can bring that level of calmness to their work at that level.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to remain calm, especially like Napoli Scudetto. I know that you had to change languages even and you caught up in that emotion. Talk us through your chat with the likes of Victor Osimhen and then Giovanni Di Lorenzo.
That season was incredible. I think, look, unless something drastic happens in the coming years, I can't see the level of emotion and passion about that season being topped anytime soon. Obvious reason for Napoli and that Scudetto, but yeah, there were so many post-match key wins, and having those post-match chats immediately after those key wins with a Di Lorenzo who doesn't speak English or a Raspadori who doesn't speak English and having to live translate in the moment, you know, yeah, okay, can speak a couple of languages, but still in that moment to apply that to your job and do that in live TV, it's not so easy. It's natural, but it's not so easy. So look, I really embrace those challenges. And I guess for me, it's the closest thing to, you know, a player in a big final having to just deliver when the pressure is on. And that's sort of the pressure I always put on myself to, you don't need to over-prepare, but you need to be prepared that you are ready to always deliver. And I always take great calmness from the fact that I feel I've put the work in, I've put the preparation in, that when the time's right, you will deliver. So in those moments, you don't even think. You just talk. You don't think about who's watching, and you just soak in and really just get that buzz off the energy. And speaking to someone like Osimhen, who I was always so inspired by and built a really strong relationship with him in the Scudetto season, an individual whose journey to that moment to becoming an icon and an idol in the history of Napoli, just every time I spoke with him was more inspired by what he was on the brink of achieving. And then when they did it, it was, yeah, no need for preparation, no need for notes, no need for anything, because the passion just took over. It was truly remarkable.
Yeah, well, you're talking to new royalty there in Naples, because Victor Osimhen, the first Capo Cannoniere for Napoli, top scorer for Napoli that season. Only Maradona had ever top scored in a Scudetto winning season for Napoli before, twice. So he's now in that category. And then Di Lorenzo is the only other captain besides Diego Maradona to have ever won the Scudetto for Napoli. So that's who you're talking to at the time.
Adriano, were you upset then when Osimhen left and went to Galatasaray?
No, I was, absolutely. And look, I wish, it, particularly at the moment with where we're at, this was a top player in the league. He could have played in another top club. And this is a player who, given what he had achieved, obviously there were other issues at Napoli, and I guess the timing didn't allow for a move within Italy, and that's why he's gone to where he's gone to. But yes, I just such great admiration for the individual. The player, yeah, fantastic. But the individual, the person that I got to know in the working relationship that we had, just a quality human being, and was so thrilled for the success that he had. So was very sad that he left, but I remain optimistic that he could return one day, hopefully soon.
Before we go to Serie B, which we're gonna, Adriano's been doing lately, want to talk about emotion on the pitch. One player that particularly brings it out of us is Roberto Baggio. We spoke about him last week on the pod and about his top three goals. It was his birthday week. Go and check that out if you haven't seen it on our YouTube channel. But we had some comments from some of the people that watched it. Alessandro says, man, carried Italy to the final in 94 when Sacchi didn't like his style.
Yeah.
Tick.
True.
John says, what a player. I'm old enough to have watched him live. Me too. And he says that he was a genius. Also, a special shout out I'll go to is the Michael Laurenti in Catania, who says, and this is an interesting story, and it's all there in the YouTube comments, when Michael was a baby born in Los Angeles, his dad happened to be a translator, and Italy were going through California at the time because they were about to play in Pasadena. And as a baby, his dad is the translator. Roberto Baggio's in the room. Arrigo Sacchi's in the room. Signori, Massaro, Albertini, everyone. And they were passing baby Michael around. And Roberto Baggio actually held him. They've got the photos to prove it. And it actually made mainstream TV there. So Michael has commented that in the comments. So talk about how Roberto Baggio made Adriano feel when you were growing up.
Look, with Baggio, my earliest, clearest memories are probably his Brescia days. And that was obviously at the tail end of his career. But damn, my earliest memories are him in an Italy shirt, 94 and 98, those periods there. But 94 particularly, obviously, I was very young, but this was the moment you start to learn about the man. But the reason that I say the Brescia days is because it was in this period here where I really started to become clear with what I wanted to do with my work. And I remember skipping school, as I mentioned earlier, and watching with my nonno Baggio for Brescia when he played. And it wasn't anything in particular, but the stories that my nonno would share from his days of Baggio coming through the ranks, and now here he is on the way out. And any time this particular player would score, albeit for Brescia at that stage of his career, I knew there was more meaning to this and his story than what I understood. And Baggio symbolized everything that culture was, a legend of the game, an icon of the game, so well respected still to this day. And I remember, without having watched the entirety of his career, this was someone that I knew that made me understand why the sport was so special. And now, having got to know so many of the Italian, particularly the ex-Italian players, particularly those that won the 06 World Cup, every single one, without question, tells me that the greatest Italian player of all time is Roberto Baggio. And every single one of them tell me that if he had at least one knee, not zero knees, but at least one knee, he would have been at the level of Maradona and Pelé. And this was the quality of the player. And they all go on to say the quality of the person. So for me, while I don't have the most memories of him as a player because I was a little too young, he symbolizes everything that makes Italian football what it is.
This is the Calcio FC podcast with me, David Farini, and Destination Calcio senior writer Emmett Gates in the studio today. Pitchside presenter Adriano Del Monte joins us. We're going to deep dive into Serie B side Spezia. Adriano, you were there on the weekend to see them take on Catanzaro. Potential promotion to Serie A. They're going okay, and they've got a new owner in town.
They do, and obviously the game didn't go too well. They had you don't blame absences, but they did have a few players missing through illness, a couple of players playing through illness as well. But look, a team, it was my first time to Spets. It was actually my first ever Serie B match pitch side in my life. Ooh. So that was a cool box to tick as well. But look, in any case, the result didn't go their way, but it was a special day for the club because it was the first home match for the club under their new ownership. An Australian company, FC32, that have come in, have bought the club off its previous owners and have very big plans for this club. The club are currently one of, I believe, six at the moment, clubs that the company own across Europe. But this club is the top of the pile and definitely the most significant in their ownership portfolio at this point. So a really exciting project that's just getting underway. And what I loved about this club, the fan base, so passionate. The result didn't go their way, but definitely didn't take away from the occasion. The mutual respect shown between the new owners and the fans. And yeah, I'm sure I'll be back there. Well, I will be back there very soon.
What are those big plans that the Aussies are going to do? Because we've seen some Australian entrepreneurs also in Sicily. Now we see them up in Liguria.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think they're very keen on maintaining a strong level of control over the players that they identify as suitable for their business, and their business incorporating all clubs involved. So I think given the fact that they have different clubs in Europe, different clubs that may suit different players, different styles, that the value for them is really on the player. And they are creating pathways into many different continents across the planet, particularly Australia, a strong focus. There's a strong belief within the company that Australian, let's just say, sporting talent are underutilized in the football space. And if they really strongly believe if they are to create these pathways to facilitate player development from Australia coming through to Italy, that Spezia can really be the launching pad for these young players to come in and make their mark. And it's a really deep and complex project, but a lot of key players involved, some really, really knowledgeable individuals involved, people who have been involved right at the top level in US sports, particularly in the NFL and the NBA. The connection initially was with Italy was the Italian Olympic Committee, because these individuals were given some work there through them as well. So look, it's individuals who are really at the top of their field in global sport with a strong keen eye on football and the Australian market, but other markets around the world as well. And look, they've engaged with me to play a part in assisting them with their international media relations and things that they're doing around the world. But it is, from what I've learned so far, a really big project to keep a close eye on, because if they are to get in the top flight, the president, Paul Francis, or vice president, but founder of the company, Paul Francis, mentioned to me, their aim isn't to be promoted. Their aim is to be promoted and remain there. So it could be the start of something very, very special to come.
How did you actually get from Milan? Did you take the train?
Yeah, I did. I do a lot of travel and do a lot of holiday time in the Cinque Terre region. So the train from Milan goes through Cinque Terre to Spezia, 3.5 hours or so. Very easy, yeah. Very relaxed.
Easy viewing on the way down.
Easy viewing.
Yeah, and you went past the Rio Maggiore. We've done a piece on that as well. How'd you go down there?
Beautiful. Look, I always go there every summer. I spend a few weeks there every year in the summertime. It was it was a different experience going there in the wintertime with no one around. It actually reminded me of the COVID days, because I did some weeks there in the summertime and there was no one around then. But this time, no beach, no restaurants open, not much going on. So it was but still, what a beautiful place. What a spot. And that's actually when I tell you the reason that the Australians identified and purchased Spezia, that's why.
They really believe
it's a gem, given its geographical position in this beautiful country. And I really see a lot of upside and potential there to really engage with all sorts of entities globally. But from a tourism perspective, doesn't get any better for me in Italy.
And not many people know about La Spezia as a city. It is. It's one of those uncovered. We uncovered it, and now Adriano is. But it's a gem, and it's one of those cities that has everything there is. The stadium is fairly... It's a good-looking stadium as well, from outside, inside.
Yeah, fairly modern.
Holds about 20,000 people or a little bit more. They've redone it. I remember the Alberto Pico had some work done on it when they got promoted from Serie B last time under Vincenzo Italiano. Now they've done the cover over the other stand, and it looks great.
It's a gorgeous little stadium, and it's an easy walk from the centre of La Spezia.
Yeah, 15 minutes. And you got there with a train. We flew into Pisa. Yeah. We went up with a car and we stayed there a few days. We went to Carrara after that.
Yeah.
Any
advice to the listeners? If you're planning a trip to La Spezia, bring an umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got rained on.
Do you know how lucky we were? The forecast was rain the whole weekend and the day of the game, perfect. It rained overnight, perfect. Last night, the Italian women played against Denmark women in Spezia and it was there was more rain there than any place on the planet. So very fortunate. So yes, you're right. Bring that umbrella at all times.
Swim through the puddles to get to the ball. But it is a beautiful place, Porto Venere right there. It is the gateway to the Cinque Terre. And players like Francesco Pio Esposito and his brother Salvatore Esposito, they're enjoying it. Same with Gianluca Lapadula's there. So international players, he's now, he had his go
sent
with
him. Sent off at the weekend.
He was sent off, okay. Let's not go there. Look, a beautiful goal by Pitarello as well into the corner. If you haven't seen it, you know, go and watch those the highlights there on DCTV. I'll just give it a plug. But look, the best moments in Spezia, there obviously they were there in Serie A. They had Enzola, Maggiore,
Provedel.
Yeah, Provedel in goals, and that's where they're aiming to get back. They've got a decent team at the moment, and they're looking like what they're in third position. Next couple of weeks are going to be big. They're going to be watching what Pisa do this weekend against Sassuolo, and then they've got the big one against Pippo. So we'll see how they go. Any other advice about Spezia? What was your? How long were you there for? A couple of days?
Only a couple of days. Yeah, and it was my first visit to Spezia, despite how many times I've been to Cinque Terre. So I'll keep the tips coming. I will be there for the Pisa match. I'll keep the tips coming. But look, it's just a beautiful little town. It's a beautiful spot. It's a nice place in the country. And you guys are right. You can just walk to the stadium. You can enjoy. There's a lot of things to do in such a small town. So really enjoyed it. But obviously, I think the advice for someone who's never been to that part of Italy before would be enjoy Spezia, but Cinque Terre is on your doorstep. So don't be afraid to spend a day or two just checking out the towns there because it's just a wonderful part of this country.
Yeah, and if you're not there, you watch it on Destination Culture TV. Get the app now on Android and iOS. Mark was watching the other day. He contacted us on X. He's known as Bernard Bean. He said, afternoon watching Culture, Spezia on Destination Culture and some Serie A on One Football. Great day to spend in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poltrona.
Perfection.
The sofa. Alan Gaskin tweeted out, couldn't have asked for a better vantage point, but I've still got absolutely no idea how play was because he's right in the corner. He sent us a photo of him being at the Pisa match the other day. We were broadcasting that on DCTV. So the upcoming games this weekend, as we said, Sassuolo Pisa, massive. Saturday 1st of March at 4:15 p.m. GMT. We'll be there to cover the Mappe Stadium. We've got someone on site this week. So we'll see first against second. It's two World Cup winners, Grosso against Inzaghi. Oh, those memories as well. Let's not go down that hole. Palermo Brescia on Sunday, 2 p.m. We've got two games broadcasting there. Go to destinationculture.com to read about Culture England's article on Luca Toni's resurgence in his time in Palermo. So that's coming out this week. Bari Sampdoria, Sunday at 4:15 p.m. The David Platt derby.
Yeah, I was going to say, the David Platt derby.
And we've also written an article on that at the beginning of the season on the website. And also our feature writer this week is Stephen Kasiewicz. He's writing a preview on that. Sampdoria fan with a bit of a Bari twist and the return of Sibili from Bari to Samp in the January window. Serie A, of course, Napoli into massive this week. I'd like to thank Adriano Del Monte for coming on. Football presenter extraordinaire. He's been everywhere. He's back from Australia in Milan. Thanks so much, Adriano. We're looking forward to hearing from you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me. Keep up the great work.
And that's it from me, David Farini, Emma Gates and Adriano Del Monte. You can contact us on our personal X accounts or go to the Destination Culture X page at DSTN Culture for everything Italian football culture. Be sure to join us every Thursday on Apple, on Spotify and YouTube for the next edition of Culture FC. And don't forget, you can watch action as well as highlights, full match replays for Serie B on the DCTV app or tv.destinationculture.com. Stick with us this weekend on our socials. And remember, the destination is sempre Calcio.